John chapter 21, beginning at verse 6. And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. I've been listening to a very large book. If you ever purchased it, you would go, this is huge, called Arete. It's a recent publication, and it's based on the Greek word Arete. Arete is the optimal person you can be at any given moment, the most that you can be, your optimal self. And he talks about different ways to do that, to be a part of that. And the nice thing about it is it's broken into half-page, page segments. So each day you can just pick a page or a part of a page and read it and get inspired and encouraged in different areas of life. That is really important. And I think once you see what today's passage is about, you're going to see something in yourself that was also in the Apostle Peter, and some things that aren't in you that were in the Apostle Peter, because there's a lot of commonalities and a lot of differences in each person, but especially with him. The story goes that Peter was in the boat with the other disciples, and John told him that Jesus was standing on the banks. Immediately, Peter jumps into the water after he puts his coat on. I don't know if later he regretted doing that, but it might be a possibility. Have you ever done something you regretted? We have some regrets, don't we? We carry some of those things. Oh, I wish I wouldn't have done that. That wasn't one of my better ideas. That's one of my favorite sayings. That was not one of my better ideas. Probably shouldn't have done that. That's another one. More so, and probably more frequently, I say, I probably shouldn't have said that. Because that's a big one for me. But regrets, we all have them. But the question is, would you rather regret not doing something or have the story you can tell of what happened when you did it? I guess that depends on what it was, doesn't it, that you did or didn't do. But our stories are our life. They really are. I was talking to Linda Shade at Life Care Center on Friday, and she's not married, never married, and I was surprised by that. And I asked her, "Did you never find someone?" She said, "Oh, I did. I did find someone, a man named Bobby Lacey. And when we were both teenagers, he was shot and killed. But we had plans to marry, and because he was shot and killed, I didn't marry." And I thought to myself, Linda, you were a teenager. You have a lot of years between then and now. You could have found somebody else and married. And she said, "No, I couldn't have." And I'm thinking, what's the story she's telling herself here? Is she living with regret or guilt or what? And she said this, "In life, God gives us this one person that's meant for us, that's a perfect match, and I had my one. I had my one, and God won't give me another one because I had the one I was supposed to have. And so I never looked again for another." And so that's the story that she told herself. She didn't have any regrets. Because for a period of her life, even though she was young, she had the story she could tell about the perfect love. To me, that's not logical. A person has told me stories, and many different folks have gone through a marriage and lost a spouse, and they found another. They didn't have to, and they didn't believe they had to stay unmarried the rest of their life. Or people who've gone through divorces have remarried. They didn't believe that they were stuck with the first one. So the stories can change and weave with different relationships. So when she said this, I said, you know, how Spock says it on Star Trek, this doesn't make sense. It's not logical to me. You could have, and maybe you deprived yourself of a marriage and children and grandchildren that a lot of us are experiencing in life because you believed that you couldn't find another. So I didn't say that, but I thought that. Well, you look at Peter in the story. He does some things that aren't logical. He risked a lot. He risked the disdain of the other disciples towards him. He dove in the water. He took the lead, and he showed zeal, but he let the others to bring the fish in that big net full while he went to go to Jesus first. Peter's going, I'm going first. You guys bring the fish. Instead of, hey, John, you love him and Jesus loves you. You go first and I'll bring the fish. He didn't do that. He said, I'm going. And so maybe the other disciples, look, there goes Peter again, doing that stupid stuff he always does. But that's kind of what they might have thought. We don't know what they thought, but it seems they would have gotten used to it by now. But Peter saw Jesus as more important to him than bringing that catch of fish in. And he's a fisherman. The story tells us later that Peter valued that catch of fish a lot. A whole lot. And we'll get into that a little later on. But I will say this. Peter loved fish. But when he saw it was Jesus, once again, he left the net. But some people never risk. They're never taking chances. Some people say, better safe than sorry. They're concerned with getting their clothes wet in the rain, so they don't want to go out in the rain, or they have a big enough umbrella to keep dry. Or some people are worried about getting their hands dirty. If you're a mechanic, you better not worry about that. Or a farmer, or a gardener. You better worry that you didn't get them dirty that day, because it means you didn't get nothing done. Some people are afraid of compromising their self-interests and what they want to do with their life and what they plan to do. So they don't want to take that risk. They play it safe. Some people play it safe. We often say, well, I don't want to be rash or foolish with my decisions here. I've got to take my time and consider all the options before I do anything because I don't want to make a mistake. Well, that's true. We don't want to make a mistake. We don't want to be seen as the one who made the bad mistake and other people looking at you and saying, you know, you shouldn't have done that for the rest of their life. So we say that safe is better than sorry, but and haste makes waste, and a stitch in time saves nine. But at the same time, we also say the early bird gets the worm. So we have contradicting stories we tell ourselves, don't we? Depending on which one we want to live out, those are the ones we like. But the fact of the matter is, and you'll hear this often, no risk, no reward. No risk, no reward. It's been said a lot. Wayne Gretzky said you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. It's a fact, isn't it? If you never do anything, you won't get anything done. You know, I've been waiting for a sermon to say that about Wayne Gretzky, and this is the one. It's been a long time. I've had that thing in the back of my head. And it's true, though. If you don't do anything, if you don't try, you won't know if you will succeed. They often say, if you never invest, you'll never gain. In today's economical climate, if you invest, you have no idea what you will wind up with. I've seen people recently in the last week or two with the markets and all the cryptocurrency out there going, man, this is great. And the next day, I hate this stuff because it's so fluctuating. But if you never risk, invest, you never gain anything from doing it. And some people say, well, you got to hedge your bets. And some people say, no, I don't bet at all. But if you never invest in something, you will never see the fruits of your labor for the kingdom of God. You will never see it. You will never know what you could do for the kingdom of God if you never invest in it. If you never do anything for it. And the worst thing is, we will never grow if we never invest and risk a little bit of putting ourselves out there. And you know what happens if you don't grow? You stagnate. You fester like a cancer or a sore. You become poisonous to yourself. So is that worse than your fear of investing? Is your fear of not doing anything worse than doing something and making a mistake or failing? Or wasting your time? It's a good question, isn't it? But let me tell you something. You cannot grow without failure. If you think you're going to do everything right all the time, you're misled. If you expect it, you're misled. You have to make mistakes along the way. Mistakes are learning. What did Edison say when he's trying to invent the light bulb? I didn't fail 10,000 times. I found 10,000 things that didn't work. I learned. And he found out how to make the light bulb, didn't he? How many of us would have given up after 5 tries? 5 of us? Most of us? What number was your number where this is not going to ever happen number? Thomas Edison never knew that number. He never knew that number. And he took notes on every failure. It's true. One of the things that we also know is if you fail and learn, you haven't lost because you've learned. The man who wrote Arete, he and his son played chess. His son started learning at a young age, and by age 12, he was taking on people many more years older than him. Lives in Texas, went to the state championships for chess. And he says, Dad, what if I lose? He says, son, if you lose, you learn. Well, if I win, I said, then you win. And if you learn something, you've won. So if you win, you win. And if you lose, you learn. And if you learn, you win. So if you win, you win. And if you lose, you win. So no matter what happens, you're going to go and you're going to win something. Either the match or experience of what not to do or how to do it differently. You just have to learn from the mistakes or what happened to make you not win that tournament or that match. And his sons took that attitude into his life. That every experience is a learning and a winning one. But some of us look at those experiences and go, you know, I'm not good at failure. I don't know that I could handle that. My ego or my pride won't let me fail. So I won't even try because I don't want to face that discouraging situation. But what if you turn that around and said, you know, I'm not failing. I'm not making mistakes. I'm going through a learning experience to be a better version of who I am for Jesus Christ. And I'm not going to stagnate, but I'm going to grow.
Hi, this is Ashley T. Lee Podcast. Join me to hear the Bible read line by line and clearly explained. Listen to the Word of God in your car or home or work while it transforms your mind daily. Romans 12:2 says, "Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, which is good and acceptable and perfect." Knowing the Bible can give you peace and joy in this hectic world. Listen weekly to Ashley T. Lee Podcast on all podcast sites.
Lights. I got to tell you something about Peter, though. It's not normal what he did. Now, you say, well, you know, people like to swim, you know, it's okay, but it's not normal what he did. If you read the text carefully, it says he jumped into the water and swam to shore with his clothes on. It's like you're out on a boat, maybe in a swimsuit, laying on a towel, and you're 300 feet from the shore, and you want to go up there to shore quicker than everybody else. You say, hold on, I got to go get my shoes, my socks, my pants, my shirt, and my jacket so I can swim to shore. Oh, and I better not forget my unwaterproof phone, too. And then I'm going to jump in the water, and I'm going to swim. We're taught if you wear clothes when you're swimming, you'll probably drown because they'll drag you down because they're heavy when they're wet. That's what we're taught. And here Peter's going, there's Jesus. I'm going, where's my coat? Grab my coat. He puts on his garment, outer garment, and then he jumps in. Do you think maybe he was such a seasoned habitual fisherman that every time he got out of the boat, he put his coat on? And he didn't realize that he wasn't near the shore and he's going to get wet? I don't know. But whatever he did, it's not logical. It doesn't make sense to me. Maybe it does to you. But I've never seen anybody go, I'm getting in the water, where's my wrap? I'm going to go swimming, throw me my winter coat. It doesn't happen. But that's what he did. We use bathing suits. We don't go into our wardrobe and put everything on that fits. And yet, we're resistant to jumping into conversations. We're resistant to telling others about Jesus or simply inviting them to church. Because it's, you know, uncomfortable. A lot of us wouldn't even jump in the water with just a swimsuit on 300 feet from the shore to go there. Let alone with swimming gear or scuba gear. No, water, you know, not safe. You might hit something. You might bang your head. I've heard stories, you know. We don't risk. We're afraid. And we live out of that fear. But listen, Peter has stories to tell. He's got stories to tell, doesn't he? You listen to this. Here, listen, I'm going to tell you, this is great. Peter's going like this. Hey, guys, let me tell you about this thing that happened with me and Jesus. People talk about him walking on water, but I did too. I walked on water. People forget two of us walked on water. Me, I did it. All those other yahoos sitting in a boat. Jesus says, you want to walk on water, you come. And he met all of us, and I was the only one who... I walked on water. Then I got distracted. It was pretty boisterous. And it started to sink. And I'm about to drown. And Jesus, still standing up on the top of the water, reaches down and lifts me up out of the water. He rescued me from drowning. I was scared as a fisherman. You're scared. That's bad. But he rescued me. And he put me back up and set me back on the water with him. I got to experience Jesus rescuing me. I risked and I failed. But he didn't let me fail completely. He let me fail to the point where I needed him to complete the task. Because if you don't risk what Jesus alone can help you do, you're just doing it on your own abilities. And he's, oh, don't forget this now. We caught this mess of fish. Oh, it was awesome. It was so much fish. The net was about to break, but it didn't. It was crazy. And we know it was Jesus all of a sudden. Well, I didn't know. John had to tell me. I was too busy thinking about all the fish. Matter of fact, I was so distracted. When I went to go see Jesus, I was so excited to see him. I grabbed my coat like I always do and jumped in the water. And doggone, I almost drowned again. You hear the stories, don't you? He's telling these stories because he did something. And in all of them that he failed, he still did something. He goes, you know, I told Jesus I'd never betray him because I really love him. But you know what? I couldn't do it. He told me I couldn't do it and I told him he was wrong. But I learned Jesus is never wrong because of that. And when I denied him, he brought me back. He rescued me from myself. But I had to act on my impulsiveness. Because in each instance, I was pledging loyalty to Him and going to Him. So it isn't a normal thing what Peter did, but he still went, going to Jesus. It is a normal, logical thing for a person who believes in Jesus and is His disciple to discuss with anybody what they believe or to talk about who they love. You talk about a woman who's brandly new engaged or a guy who's got this trophy girlfriend, he's not going to shut up, neither is she. Well, how did the proposal go, if you had one? That's an inside joke. How did that go? And she tells the story about how she got the ring, or lost it. And she tells the story about how he did all these things and made her feel loved. And he's saying, well, you ought to see how pretty she is and that outfit she was wearing. She just stole my... And we tell the story, don't we? Well, how come as disciples we shut up about Jesus? How come He's not at the forefront of our conversations if we're that in love? And we're that much of disciples and believing? Why do we not risk? Why is it not a risk to talk about somebody, but it is about Him? Why is that risky? Especially when the person we're telling about to Him will die without Him. That He's the best thing that's ever happened to you. There is no risk in talking about what you love. I love Him. I want other people to know I do. And I'm hoping they'll find out that He's worth loving. And that I found out I was worth loving as well because of Him. It's a matter, of course, for a disciple to talk about what they love and who they follow and what they think about in relationships. It's not logical for a disciple to ignore the tenets of the faith as they live their daily life. Faith is a matter of trust, not logic. Faith is a matter of obedience, not understanding something. Is this why so many of us choose to sit and think that we got to know enough or be smart enough or have the right talent to do something before we actually try or risk? This isn't logical to the disciples of Jesus. Let's put it this way. If you go out there risking, expecting to fail, you'll learn. If you go out there expecting to succeed, you're expecting to do it on your own power. But if you're going out there to share Jesus and to love Jesus by what you do, the risk in that is very minimal and none. And you say, well, how do you say that? Look at it like this. If you risk something for Jesus and you're embarrassed, and you go, oh, man, I made a fool. I said something, you know, and people don't like me now. Who's going to rescue you from those windful, boisterous waves? Who's going to rescue you from those places you fall into on your way to Jesus? Jesus. And what's the story you're going to tell? You know, I was afraid. I didn't want to do it. I was so scared. I didn't believe people would even acknowledge me or know that I exist. But I went anyway. And, I'll tell you what, I messed up so bad. I got some embarrassing stories in my life from when I was a kid that have nothing to do with Jesus. And they're not prideful. They're horrible. But when you talk about it like this, I went and I messed up. You know, when I messed up, God turned and used it for good stuff. And I learned a lot about following Him. And I learned a lot about rejection and obedience and how to be more faithful through the tough times in life. And through it all, I would never change a thing. Or we have this story. I had big dreams and hopes and visions in my life. how I'd make an impact and see what the world would do with what I have, but I was scared. I didn't want to be a fool. I didn't want to be embarrassed. It wasn't logical to me to risk or invest myself and know that if it didn't work, then I've lost all I am because I invested me. The fact that it matters, you don't invest you. You invest in Jesus Christ. And you invest in Him and His Word and His promises. The fact of the matter is, you see the guy in the picture getting out of the boat. Once he steps off the edge, no matter how far down the water is, once you step off, there's no, I changed my mind here. Once you're out and gravity takes over, you're not going, oh, wait a minute, no, I'm going back in. You can't dive in or step off a cliff and unstep or undive. This is how you invest with Jesus. Is you go all in. You dive in. And trust that following Him is the only risk worth taking. We as a church, individuals, will face these opportunities many times. And my prayer is we say, whatever I got, whatever I am, it's going to get wet. Would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for your word this morning. And I'm confident that you know us and you love us. And I'm thankful for that. Had it not been for Jesus doing what he did and facing the rejection and the shame of the cross, we would never be able to say, it's a matter of faith, not sight. Help us to trust that going to you is the only choice. Looks risky and not logical, but you are not a God of our logic or human understanding or signs and wonders. You're a God of faith. Heavenly Father, may we take that leap of faith now. Amen. A closing hymn.
Let's all stand and turn to 312. Let's do the first and last verse of All We Trust In.